Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela, and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high-level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. Today's topic is one that I'm really passionate about: creatives and entrepreneurs. Working with creatives all over the world has meant getting invited into deeply personal spaces and circumstances that would otherwise be inaccessible for me. The beautiful thing about being an intuitive empath is that I feel what is going on before anyone says anything. For creatives, this has meant being a part of a process that allows them to feel understood in ways that they've never experienced but have always craved. The relationship we cultivate is more intimate than even working with a therapist. This is because the work that we do is a full body experience for me, as much as it is for my clients. Because of that deep level of authenticity, creatives are able to free themselves from perceived judgment and lean into conversations that feel like their next manifesto. This energy allows them to be who they truly are and not just who they feel they need to appear to be. This position could not be more in alignment than if I dreamed it up myself. Before even starting, I knew it could connect me to the folks that would find spiritual guidance the most beneficial: creatives and entrepreneurs. My offerings, such as Intuitive Roadmaps and Intuitive in Resonance offerings, are targeted directly at that audience. You can read more about it on my website at lifeofempath.com. But I do have a disclaimer, friend. This is the point where we are going to be engaging in some very honest dialogue about what it means to work with creatives and entrepreneurs in the Pacific Northwest. If you identify as either one of those two persuasions, or manage them, hire them, train them, then pull up a chair. Listen closely. This is a good place to park your feelings and open your spirit to see this as an exercise in compassionate feedback and transformative learning. Here are the six things I have learned working directly with Portland creatives and entrepreneurs over the last couple of years. One, all are seeking validation. Two, soul purpose feels murky even when they're living in it. Three, low confidence is persistent, very persistent. Four, anxiety and depression are common among creatives. Did you know that? Five, spiritual guidance is super useful in getting clear in your business or creative project. And six, most creatives are highly intuitive and often empathic. This list is quite comprehensive, but not exhaustive. You ready? Take a breath and let's dive into the finer details of my list. First up, validation. Creatives tend to seek two forms of validation, first as a person and then as a creator. The friction occurs because quite often that creativity falls a bit short. Here's the truth. Validation is a very common human theme. There is not one person that comes through this life without seeking a level of belonging or connection, and that is validation. With creatives, there's a higher need for validation because they are ultimately change makers. Change is foreign and usually requires persuasion in order to be adopted. Furthermore, validation can sometimes show up as approval-seeking tendencies, and that completely derails originality. Such tendencies dampen creativity on both the physical and spiritual levels. Let's talk about soul purpose. The number one question most of my clients ask me, regardless of if we have a single meeting or an ongoing engagement, is about soul purpose. This means I have had extensive experience navigating these existential and philosophical ponderings. And what I have learned is when you are not deeply connected to your emotions, consciously or subconsciously, you have a hard time feeling your soul purpose tangibly and taking the appropriate action to make it a reality. Honestly, regardless of your geography, as long as you're chasing passions, you'll never arrive at your soul purpose. And that's because creativity is more than simply doing the thing you like to do. Creativity is available as a direct connection to the soul. People are always intrigued and compelled to ask questions about the creative process, the journey. The journey is ever present on the minds of Pacific Northwest creatives and entrepreneurs. And as a result, many find themselves on the journeys of others. While this may not be limited to Pacific Northwest creatives, I have found that they have a tendency to look to others for ways to intellectually innovate existing processes and position themselves as experts versus creating an authentic pathway for themselves through the use of those specific expertise that may be their own. Nonetheless, intelligence does not equal passion or manageability of your creation. All forms of creation are gifts from the eternal wishing well that serves as the divine energy in the universe. There can be no supreme idea or untouchable artist without the invocation of spirit, resulting in the need to seek on a soul level. All things uncanny are no accident in creation. This is your first clue that spirit has presented itself to partner with you in your creative pursuits. This deep knowing should create and embolden a creative, but because of the disconnect, it does the opposite. Many creatives lack the self-esteem necessary for creating freely, which takes me to the next item I've learned while working with creatives. Low confidence. Fear is inevitable whenever change is present, and creatives should be experiencing change often. This can create a space for fear to take root and spread. With Pacific Northwest creatives, self-belief, as it relates to creative confidence, is almost always non-existent. This is because the ego has difficulty interacting and naming a specific source of inspiration and can never fully compartmentalize the exact moment creative execution was realized in a tangible way. All creators hold a certain level of confusion about their own success, even when it appears linear. For some of the Pacific Northwest creatives I've worked with, fear is persistent, even when they are living completely radical lives. It becomes this eerie presence of discomfort, an internal conversation about self-worth and their value as a human being. With others, fear shows up as these invisible handcuffs that keep them in an internal winter prison of approval seeking that does not allow them to be fully present in any aspect of their lives. This form of fear can be so crippling that it can be hard to decipher your true desires and wants. Plus, it relies only on ideas that are widely acceptable to others. Approval seeking again. Furthermore, it undermines the dynamic nature of creativity. The term radical indicates great change, a reshaping of norms, and you cannot do this from a perspective of lack and fear. You just can't. When you start in such a manner, the best you can do is take others' ideas, modify them, and present them as your own. And there is also the form of fear that is completely resistant to change. I notice this quite often in the 50-plus founders. With these older creatives, everything is laced with judgment. Everything is judgment. Unfortunately, this is only the emotion of fear navigating the course of things and is almost never in alignment with who they really are or how they really want to show up in the world. I find that fear and time are deeply woven together. For some, fear is about the judgment they might receive for being too old to make very logical and clear changes to enhance their state of being. And for my younger clients, they often feel like they should be more rooted in adulthood versus their idealistic youthfulness. Since they have little foundation built, they are terrified to make concrete decisions. This apprehension can also reveal itself as avoidance, complete resistance, and often deflection. By the time I meet many of my clients on their journey, they have learned to negotiate their fears and reason with it. This same fear becomes a conduit for deeper and darker emotions that can stifle the creative and cripple their process, which undoubtedly leads to a cycle of negative emotions and the next element of what I learned with creatives, which is that anxiety and depression are common. Mental health concerns do not discriminate. Anyone can be infected by anxiety or depression as a one-time occurrence or a lifelong battle. With creatives, the tendency towards these type of concerns is great due to the highs and lows they experience creating, failing, getting rejected, and battling self-worth. Indeed, consider what it might be, what it might mean to be a starving artist. I bet you could conclude that anxiety or depression could easily manifest in that type of lifestyle. Furthermore, there seems to be a persistent culture of self-torture in order to achieve perceived validity. Many creatives internalize the idea of paying their dues to mean extreme highs and unimaginable lows. You'll often hear people provide their struggle narrative as a means of showing their dedication to their passion and their art. Here's what I'm saying. Mental health and stability is paramount. In my experience, creatives tend to shy away from pursuing traditional mental health care because they see it as a system that often misunderstands them. This is done regardless of if they have very real and treatable mental health issues, and they instead gravitate towards alternative medicine, which often includes spiritual guidance. This is a great supplement, but for people who need more, this is not enough. Maybe one of the greatest lessons of the global pandemic that we are in is around how modern and traditional medicine can work in conjunction to heal the entire being. I think that the current state of well-known artists illustrates my point. There are many musicians, actors, and entertainers who are vocal about their struggles with mental health and the difficulty they had admitting they needed both short and long-term support. I see the work that I do in my private intuitive guidance as a key to identifying the spiritual roadblocks of your mental balance, and more traditional therapy as a strong foundation for my guidance to grow from and in. Now, how is mental health tied to business? Well, through mental clarity, more sound business ideas and practices can be implemented without causing additional anxiousness or depression. Spiritual guidance is super useful in getting clear on your business or creative project. Many people don't even think about spiritual guidance as a solution to getting clear on their business ventures. In general, people don't value getting clear as much as they should. And when I say clear, I mean having a perception, purpose, and intention that you're working towards with confidence and certainty. The average person looking for a psychic reading may ask about love, career, or finances, but working as an intuitive strategist focused on creatives, entrepreneurs, and larger organizations, these people have more in-depth questions. Why wouldn't they? They are often managing or spending millions of dollars, and one of their decisions could be the difference in taking a huge risk or passing on an opportunity, making a specific hire, or putting their entire reputation on the line. The problem with spirituality mixed with business is that people have made spirituality so small and irrelevant that we as a people have invalidated its authenticity as humanity strives to be more modern. But spirituality, ever how will you deem it, is the truest thing that exists. Spirituality is not finite in the way people relate to it, and largely connection to religion either pulls people away or into the guidance that is available to each and every one of us. Intuitive guidance belongs in business, human resources, and creative decisions, period. Channeling this advice can be the basis for a flawless strategy plan. I want to stress the value of this guidance, especially in human resources. I have noticed that HR teams, specifically in the Pacific Northwest, often take a hands-off approach and exhibit a tendency to either excuse bad behavior from some individuals and team members while avoiding others altogether. Additionally, intuitive guidance helps individuals dig deeper internally and is powerful in helping people engage with personal biases on an intimate level. Bias awareness and identification are the cornerstones of a healthy HR practice that creates and upholds positive company culture and creates happier and more accountable executives. Most of us are probably familiar with those sensitive artistic types and super tapped in creators. Well, that's because most creatives are highly intuitive and often empathic. Some creatives have a very low degree of intuition or empathy and don't identify with the gift at all. For others, it's a high level of identification and recognition. In my experience, the term empath doesn't really define their identity because there's no support for that framework in their lives. People will self-identify as such without a full comprehension of what that truly entails. This understanding begs to ask, what in the framework is missing? And that is the HR component. Far too often, HR tries to replicate what some authentic emotional clarity could look like with a real empath, and it doesn't translate well. Maybe some of you listening work in HR. Maybe you've worked with HR as a recipient of their services. But think of how you or your company has attempted to do this kind of emotional work. Was it successful? Was it well received? The number one factor at play in the long-term viability of doing deep emotional work in the office is the reality that corporate culture is very dismissive of the concept of spiritual guidance in the workplace, even when the employees that make up that workplace embrace it. I've recently heard of numerous companies offering meditation, yoga sessions to start or end the workday, or even encouraging employees to put time on their calendars to go outside and walk in nature. These are real spiritual practices that ground us all. If we can do it in a time of crisis, we should consider what the real obstacles were to incorporating what employees as individuals are seeking for themselves, guidance and spiritual clarity, as included benefits at work for the long term, like post coronavirus, post global pandemic. There can be no true exploration of intuitive gifts without understanding the pathway or what your purpose within the gift actually is. Often that purpose is separate from making you a better creative or a deep thinker. It has its own unique function. What's more surprising is that many have heard about this themselves during their journey or simply brushed it off or accepted it as who they are in a very shallow way. Most have only internalized the negative aspects of being empathic or intuitive without taking time to develop all aspects of the gift. Such an imbalance creates much emotional discord. Let's talk about emotions for a moment, because emotional discord is a concept in and of itself that's emotionally charged. It's the kind of weight that needs to be carried, though, because we must stop dismissing emotions. We are a part of a world that is now moving towards a new normal, one that should really consider and prioritize the emotional landscape of creatives. I personally don't see how we rebuild our societies, our communities, our workplaces, and not be deeply mindful of what employees and creatives have been through in terms of loss, be it financial, be it death, heightened levels of anxiety, fear of getting sick, etc. There is no effective post-coronavirus plan that doesn't place emotional awareness at its center. Emotions are critical when seeking a deep level of understanding of diverse creative abilities and the gift of empathy. Why? Because high-level creatives operate on emotion and many other elements that are purely abstract. One of the major roadblocks for creatives across the board is not working in harmony with their emotional aspect. Emotional clarity must be established before one can fully be living in their sole purpose. Be mindful that when you understand what you are truly feeling, you can be in control of your entire being. That's powerful. Think of your emotions as fuel and clarity as the system that steers you. Now, I promised you 6 things I've learned working with creatives and entrepreneurs, but here are a few more things that have come up every single time and in no particular order. Abandonment issues, either self-abandonment or abandonment by a parent or partner, approval issues, disconnection from the inner child, various emotional triggers. Needless to say, creatives are complex beings that must continuously confront themselves in order to uncover their art. So yeah, creatives and entrepreneurs have taught me a whole lot over the last several years. But alas, if you are still on the stop and start struggle in your creative venture, business, or want to make your side hustle your primary focus, I urge you to tell me more about what's going on here, and we can take the first step in clarity. I'll even go a step further by personally inviting you to my almost full Declutter the Mind 5 Days to Spiritual Clarity this May. Our theme is going to be surrender, and as we all know, this is a vital part of the creative process. I hope you'll head over to my page at lifeofanempath.com and look under the Services tab to sign up. See you there. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I'm so grateful that you were drawn to my corner of this thing we call life. If you want to connect more, I'm on Instagram at _lifeofanempath_, or visit my website at lifeofanempath.com. No time like the present for you to connect with spirit about your current circumstances and your secret ambitions. I would be so honored to be your guide. If you enjoyed our time together today, would you send this to someone in your circle that needs a spiritual pick-me-up or has questions about their own spiritual gifts? Thanks, friend. Talk soon. Until next time.